It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
All right, I have an audio cut of the day. Ilya Shapiro is going to join me in just a moment as well. But I want to mention something for the show tomorrow because I have a parent that is scheduled from the Kirkwood School District. And I got to go back a little bit here. This is to the end of August when school had not started yet. It, is it pronounced? I can't remember. So is it Nifer or Nifer Middle School? Nifer Middle School, mm-hmm. Right? There was a parents' night, and Jason Kipp is a social studies teacher there. And in his room, he had a pro-terrorism flag, if you will. He had a Hamas flag, a Palestinian flag that was in his classroom. And there was a parent that approached him afterwards, Alana Austin is her name, that said, and she didn't even say, hey, take that down.
She was very
said,
nice.
You know, maybe you should have an Israeli flag as well, because both flags reflect our family's support for a two-state solution and would avoid disruption for Jewish students. He crossed his arms and he said no. And then she goes on to say, look, me and my daughter are descendants of a Holocaust survivor, and I hope you would reconsider. And this is where it gets interesting. He says to her, that's your version of history. Ugh. And she says, are you calling the Holocaust my version of history? And his response was, you don't understand both sides of history. We need to continue this conversation with the principal. And this goes, you know, into, you know, a process, if you will. And I'll be honest with you, and see, you might remember this. I was all over this story.
Oh, yeah.
You had very little local media coverage. There was, I think, one TV station that did something about it. The Post refused to cover it, which was amazing. I was trying to get it some national coverage at the time, and I think I would have been successful, but then it sort of just got dark and quiet. And I think one of the reasons was the parents were in the process of going through a more formal situation,
sure,
with, you know, raising complaints, et cetera. This parent, I'm told, Alana reached out to me over the weekend and said, okay, I can talk now. Now,
oh,
the lawyers got involved in all this stuff. I don't even know what the update would be on Mr. Kipp. I did hear that he had a coaching position at Eureka that was maybe not something that has continued into the fall, but we'll find out much more tomorrow on the show, because I thought that was an important situation and a case that should have been, you know, exposed. So hopefully we'll have a chance to do that tomorrow. Also on the show tomorrow, your friend Steve Jervey. He's going to become a regular fixture. Steve used to work here in St. Louis. He's a retired meteorologist. But we got another hurricane, right?
Another one. And this one is Milton. And for a while they were showing it as a Cat 5, but hopefully it will die down. But you know that stuff changes by the minute.
Well, and this one in particular, look, he was not in the path last week, but now he's in the path because he's in the Tampa area. And this is a Category 5 right now. That doesn't mean it's going to make landfall as a Category 5, but wow, they are definitely getting hammered. So we'll have Steve on the show tomorrow, and then Fred told me one other thing. Oh, this is good. Billboard Chris, Chris Elston, who is from Canada, he has gone on this mission. Chris has been on the show for 5 years now. He's gone on this mission to stop what he calls the biggest child abuse scandal ever, and that's all this gender-affirming care nonsense. He went before, 2 weeks ago, the United Nations and gave a speech.
Holy cow.
Chris has traveled all over the world. And I saw some of his clips from the UN. We've been trying to get him on since then. He's a very busy guy, but he's going to join us tomorrow afternoon as well.
Nice.
Right now, as I mentioned, I may not even close the loop on my first Monday in October, but it's the first Monday in October, which is the new Supreme Court session, which starts today. Our friend Ilya Shapiro is back with us, the Director of Constitutional Studies at the Manhattan Institute. Ilya, welcome back. How are you?
I'm okay. It's a bit of a somber day,
yes,
the anniversary of the Hamas attack.
Well, let me start with that. Your thoughts. We have spoken and you have written and spoken very passionately since this day a year ago and personally as well. So thoughts on this horrific anniversary?
Well, it's not closure. It's not some historic thing. It's still going on. It meaning the war on multiple fronts, Israel defending not just itself, not just Jews, but Western civilization effectively, the rise of anti-Semitism in America, our campuses in turmoil. So that day really kind of changed our worlds in many ways that are still ongoing. So this is certainly a year to reflect, but it's by no means something that's in the past.
You know, and I just had my friend Josh Hammer on, and we talked about this extensively. And one of the things, maybe, I don't know, I'll ask you, because as a non-Jew, it was really, and it became very clear very quickly how much anti-Semitism there was, especially on college campuses. But that was probably even shocking to you as a Jew, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we in America had gotten used to just, Jewish people are just part of the wonderful mosaic of the entire society. And anti-Semitism, yeah, there's some, yahoos on both the left and the right, but we really don't have to deal with it. But now we do.
So it's the first Monday in October. That's when the Supreme Court gets rolling. I saw one account, reporting, maybe it was the Washington Post. They said, look, last year at this time, they weren't talking about presidential immunity or the Colorado ballot issues. So those were added to the docket, as the year went along. But what are we looking at right now? Is this an average type caseload for the Supreme Court, or would you call it otherwise?
Well, there apparently are about 40 cases on the docket now. They just added a bunch from over the summer, just a few days ago. But no real blockbusters. I mean, this is not, we got used to almost every year having something really huge, affirmative action, abortion, guns, I mean, the same-sex marriage, you name it, the presidential immunity, what have you. We may still, when we're talking about this in June, July, after the term, it may still turn out to be a blockbuster term. Who knows? After the election, there might be another Bush v. Gore type scenario at the court, and who knows what else might come down. But of the cases that are currently on the docket, probably only a couple of them are ones that we're still going to be talking about at the end of the term. One of them, well, maybe two or three, one of them is being argued tomorrow about the regulation of so-called ghost guns, that is these parts kits from which you can machine together a firearm. They don't have serial numbers. That's why they're called ghost guns. Kind of a rerun of last term's case involving bump stocks.
So is there going, one of the cases that we're kind of, keeping an eye on here in St. Louis is the transgender issues that have gone before the court. We've had some Missouri cases that have been, highlighted with our Attorney General Andrew Bailey. We had the WashU whistleblower here, Jamie Reed, in St. Louis. Are they going to take a case on that's with the gender-affirming care stuff?
That's probably the biggest case on the docket right now. It's a case called United States versus Scrimeti, Scrimeti being the Attorney General of Tennessee, defending that state's law banning gender care for minors, surgical interventions, hormone injections, all of those sorts of things. It's a constitutional case. They only took the equal protection argument, that is denying this general gender care to minors a violation of equal protection. Presumably the court took this up because there's litigation on this all over the place and they want to set out some standards, but that's generating a lot of briefing, which is ongoing right now. And they haven't set an argument date, but it'll be later this fall.
Are there, this might seem like a weird question, but let me ask it anyway. We're talking a lot about Roe v. Wade and abortion. We know he had the big case from a couple summers ago. Are there still statewide abortion issues that are coming before the court or not?
Well, it's funny you ask. Just today, they turned back an appeal of a Texas law regarding emergency provision of abortion and how state law intersects with EMTALA, the federal law that requires hospitals that take federal funds to accept patients and stabilize them. There was a case out of Idaho on some related issues last term that the court ultimately did not decide, just sent it back to the lower courts. So nothing else on abortion is currently before the court.
Do you have any anticipation? Obviously, this is up to the individual justices, but we have Clarence Thomas, 76 years old. He's been on the court since he was 43. Sam Alito is 74 right now, and then Sonia Sotomayor is 70. So, look, you can be a very young 76. I'm not trying to boot Clarence Thomas out of the court. But, you these paths for the rest of their lives sometimes become a little bit more clear after an election. Do you have any thoughts on that, possible retirements?
I think if Trump wins, I think it's very likely that both Thomas and Alito will retire in the next 4 years. If he doesn't, if Harris wins, then obviously they're not going to leave voluntarily.
Right. And would you, I mean, the other liberal justices are too young for that even to be an issue right now, likely, right?
Well, yeah, so Sotomayor, you said, is 70. You know, she has diabetes that she's been living with her entire life. You know, would she want to, she's been on the court 14 going on 15 years. Is that enough? Will she, it also depends who controls the Senate, of course, because even if Harris wins and the Republicans keep the Senate, you know, who knows what the, we haven't had a Supreme Court confirmation in a period of divided government since Clarence Thomas. The last time there was even a nominee was Merrick Garland in 2016. And of course he didn't even get a vote. That was the decision made by the Senate majority at the time. So depending on how the election plays out, certainly we could either definitely expect retirements or definitely not expect them.
Here's what I'd say. Thank God Merrick Garland wasn't confirmed. Looking at that guy when he does the job he's supposed to be doing right now, I can't even imagine that scenario. Thoughts as we get closer? I mentioned this to my previous guest as well. Look, 4 weeks from tomorrow, you mentioned the election, the implications. What's the gut check from Ilya Shapiro?
I'm just a simple constitutional lawyer. Look, I'm reading all the same stuff that everyone else is, and it's all within the margin of error. Who knows how good the pollsters are this time around? I think it's going to come down to the ground game, like the unsexy blocking and tackling, getting out the vote, and things like that. It's not about persuading people. I mean, they're very very narrow band of people who are true independents. It's more about making sure that people that that support you or hate the other person enough actually make it to the polls.
Did you see, you know, one of the things that's been happening, I don't know if you sit around like I do because I like to watch football a lot, but, you know, there's been all kinds of Kamala national ads that have been running, and a lot of us are like, wait a second, where's the Trump stuff? But there was a good PAC ad yesterday that sort of highlighted the economy that I think would be very effective, but they're being outspent, you know, by Harris, I think maybe 3-1 in some of these states.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, who knows how their strategies are actually playing out, because so much of this is done on social media and digitally and other ways. Who are, you know, the Harris campaign has a lot of money, so it's burning up a lot of money, kind of throwing up a lot of these national ads, which aren't as targeted, perhaps. You know, money's not the end of the ballgame. Basically, what apparently, once you get past a certain threshold, and nobody knows what that is in any given election, beyond that, it's, you know, advertising doesn't do much. I think both campaigns, as I said, we better press to invest in getting out the vote and those just basic mechanics. But then what do I know? Again,
I think you're right about that. I think that's the ground game is very important and not to be underestimated. Ilya, thank you so much. Enjoy the start of the new term. Have a great week and we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.